Welcome, everyone, to the April meeting of the Murrindindi Shire Council. Firstly, I wish to have an acknowledgement of country. The Murrindindi Shire Council is proud to acknowledge the Tungurung and Wurundjeri people as the traditional custodians of the land we now call Murrindindi Shire. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, who are the keepers of history, traditions, knowledge, and culture of this land. Councillors, if you could raise your right hand, please. The councillors, democratically elected to represent our community as the Murrindindi Shire Council, are committed to working together in the best interests of the people who live in our municipality, those who conduct business here, and those who visit. Thank you. This public meeting is being streamed live via our Facebook page and website. A recording of the meeting, along with the official minutes of the meeting, will also be published on our website. Madam CEO, do we have any apologies or requests for leave?
Not tonight.
Thank you. Councillors, are there any disclosures of interest or conflict of interest? Councillor Hazel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I declare a general conflict of interest with agenda item 5.1, grants and contributions, April allocations, as I'm a member of Ilden Action Incorporated.
Thank you. Confirmation of minutes. Councillors, can I have someone move that the council confirm the minutes of the 22nd of March 2023 scheduled meeting of council? Councillor Gerringer. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Lordy. Councillors, all those in favour?
Thank you.
Carry. And can I, we have a recommendation that council confirm the minutes of the 5th of April 2023 special meeting of council. Can I have someone who moves the motion, please? Councillor Carpenter. And someone to second? Councillor Haslam. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Madam CEO, do we have any petitions this evening?
Not tonight.
Thank you. Do we have any community recognition? Do we have any matters deferred from previous meetings? Thank you. Do we have any urgent business?
No.
Why not? Public participation, open forum.
Thank you. Murrindindi Shire Council welcomes you to this open forum. Open forum provides an opportunity for presentations to council. These can be on one or more topics, but are limited to 5 minutes in total. The mayor will provide a 1 minute warning after 4 minutes. Submissions as part of open forum may be on any matter listed on the agenda or any other matter, provided that the submission extends due courtesy and respect to council and is not prejudicial to any person or organisation. Please note that this meeting is being streamed live on the internet and a copy of the recording will be published on council's website, and so you should take care in disclosing any personal or sensitive information. As chair of this meeting, the mayor reserves the right to cease a submission as part of open forum if it's deemed inappropriate. When you are called, please come forward and take a seat. Please state your name and the name of any organisation you represent and the matter on which you wish to speak. At the end of your presentation, please remain seated whilst there will be no discussion or debate. Councillors may wish to ask questions. If your topic relates to an item for decision on today's agenda, this will be dealt with as listed. Otherwise, the matter will be referred to the relevant director for investigation and response in due course. At the end of open forum, you are most welcome to stay and observe the meeting. However, there will be no further opportunity for public participation in the meeting. Responses to any questions of council received prior to the meeting will be provided after open forum. Thank you.
Thank you. The first submission to speak I have is from Paul Wainscott. Come forward and take a seat, please, Paul.
Yeah.
Yep.
in support of council. So I do oppose the reason that is that so many people that bridge between two of the Cromwell and a lot of neighbors have reasons. One thing we would actually like to see in a show of hands the more we can hear is how many of you use that bridge on a daily basis.
One of the conventions of this period of time is that they ask questions, we will take the questions down, but we cannot give answers to questions until...
So is there any reason why they should not be on the show?
It's just not the done thing because you're asking a question and asking... You're asking for an action from councillors, time when we do not provide actions or responses which may prejudice a decision later on.
Because... it can clear up an assumption many of us have.
I'm sorry.
You're not going to live.
No.
The only other thing I'd like to say is that it would seem with the opinion of a lot of people in our community that this whole thing started under a mantra. And since then, there have been massive problems. I don't believe people in our community have been dealt with honestly in any shape. I'm not going to use the word devious, but that's pretty important. The other thing that I'd like to put here is that I don't think there will be answers. One of the answers in my opinion would be that you leave the existing bridge alone. Tomorrow you start building the other bridge of life and get it finished by the 30th of June. First of July, the new budgetary position, we're told that it's going to cost $400,000. Not seeing any confidence. Those figures haven't been nailed down in any way and they have failed either. So again, it's sufficient advisors. How did that figure arrive? 1st of July, new budget is here ahead. You make the funds available. We did. We're told it's $400,000. And with that, there's $100,000 is it 250? Is it 450? They give it. I think we should hold. Now that's coming up. So again, my view is you start building the new bridge now, keep the other bridge open. The 1st of July, you're facing a new car. $450,000, $250,000, that's what we need to do the approaches to that. Therefore, there's no need to shut up. Thank you very much.
Let's go. Just as you're at the front, just stay there for a moment. Councillors might have some questions for you. I don't know whether they do or they don't. Come back there, please. Councillors, do we have any questions? Councillor Gallagher. Wainscott.
Paul. Thank you, Paul, for attending this evening and sharing your perspectives. I'd invite you to stick around and we'll hear from the engineer and the officer. We're going to talk specifically about the options and the various costs, and hopefully you've had an opportunity to see the detailed briefing paper, which points out the difference in the various options in terms of costs. From a governance perspective, the thing that concerns me most is the mention of some underhanded, perhaps dishonest behaviour. I wonder if you'd like to elaborate on that.
I need to clear that up. I touched on the fact that that is an opinion of the community. I have no real evidence, except there have been things like calling the first meeting. See, the very first meeting, I understand, was on something like the next meeting was in November, which I attended. The residents. No one in that room would remember getting an invitation to that meeting in March. Not one. So, what is the reason for that? So you can understand how suspicion starts to appear. The second meeting tried to was set for 2:30 in the afternoon. Now, I'm cynical enough to think that that may have been intended, and I say may have been intended, to exclude people who were the most affected, be the most vulnerable. But that didn't actually work because they came in. Again, that I have good reasons and would like to hear them, but why 2:30 in the afternoon? So you can see where this sort of thing gets up the nose.
I see your frustration. I sense that the reason for you coming to this opinion. Have your perspectives been altered given the level of engagement with yourself and with the community since the November meeting?
Unfortunately, I couldn't make the last meeting out of Australia. But I have been taking some contact with Peter. I can tell the costing of that. I've been reasonably active with other people in the room, only from the point of view of IPAs and create a united front going forward.
Thank you for your time, Paul.
Are there any other questions, Councillor? No? Thank you, Paul. The next speaker, please, is Greg Willsmill. Okay. Nicole Street.
Yeah. I think Nicole will be here a little bit later. I would just want to ask the council how we can justify the council money putting up artwork on the rail trail and spending, I'm told, $1.2 million, but you can't come up with $350,000 for the job for our workers, emergency services, cutting main.
As I mentioned before, we can't answer questions at this time. However, I'm pretty certain we can phrase something where we can get, during a later briefing, an answer to your question.
Sorry, we're having a difficulty hearing everything that's going on up the back of the little screen. There's some way to get our speakers to speak right into the mother microphone. If you go to speak, please make sure you've got your mouth just about on.
The next speaker is Taylor Street.
Hi, Council. I am affected, just like everyone else here, and I want to share some what is it, what, how I'm going to be affected by it. And I am an apprentice, so I'm a low-income earner, and I live at the end of Breakaway Road. And I make the commute to Lillardale 6 days a week, early in the morning, so I get the 10:05. And if we're going to close down Breakaway Road, I'm going to have to travel via King Lake or Yay, and that can take up to a 50-minute detour for me. So if I continue to go through King Lake to get to my work and really out early in the morning, I've got risks of road damage, which is already a known factor that we have in Victoria. We've got a lot of deer issues in wildlife. The other day, my friend had a deer go into his truck with a little spot. So I've got the risk of damaging my car and my life as well. I also have to deal with financial risks as well. As I am a low-income earner, I don't earn a lot of money, so it's going to cost me to get to work and back more than what I already do. So I'm going to have financial strain because we have other members of the community, and I just need to let you guys know that I'm going to struggle. It's going to be really tough, and I know that you guys as council don't have the money, but in the end, the community is going to have to pay for it. And we're going to have to suffer. Workers are going to have to suffer. And it's just disappointing that this isn't really been. Anyway.
Yeah. Councillors, are there any questions, please? No questions? Thank you, Taylor. David Carabot.
My name is David Carabot. I own a property on Breakaway Road, run a business for that property. On the 27th of October, I went up to 22 and a meeting. I would like to thank councillors, and I'd like to thank you for the number of meetings they've had in this process. I appreciate that. I think that part of it has been welcomed. But I'd like to take you on the journey that I've been through in this process. For me, this started in May 2020. 3 years ago, a number of property owners, including myself, were contacted by the Murrumbidgee Asset Engineer. I don't believe he's with you anymore, John Zayner. Council sought support from the community to assist in an approach to critical government funding, the upgrade of the bridge. Funding was still applied to be upgraded to two lanes for the purposes of enhancing businesses. There was never any discussion about the quality of the bridge or the fact that it was a good thing to do. The first question I had throughout the beginning of the year was, are you going to close the bridge during construction? And it was made very clear to me that the funding submission would be made on the basis that the funding mass So the bridge would remain open and unlimited traffic to park during construction. And on that basis, as a good community member, myself and others assisted, provided letters of support and critical and necessary for the sufficient funding. So as you can see, what I'm reading here today is because the community supported the Shire to receive funding, and it's substantial funding. Then we move to March 2022. The next step, build a bridge. We were told that the contract was awarded to a contractor in early 2022. The work commenced around March 2022. In fact, there were signs erected on Melbourne Highway and Whittlesea Road in early 2022 indicating minimal disruption during construction. We were told the community that a bailout bridge would be installed during construction that would have unlimited capacity. And all was great. Everyone was happy. Initial work started with the removal of vegetation and earthworks in the bank of the Yeo River, and then the works were stopped. And there was no communication to the community. It was just total radio silence. 7 months later, and now in 27th of October last year, with 48 hours notice, a community meeting was held on the 27th of October 22. We are told that at that meeting there's been a complete change in approach, and the upgrade will now require a permanent closed bridge with no temporary bridge access during works. What happened to our temporary bridge? As a community, we're told the following. The temporary bridge will cause significant environmental impacts. The environmental impact has already occurred. With the work currently performed, there's been no mitigation works to limit the erosion or the impact of the polluting effects on the area due to sediment washing to the river. It's been over 12 months, and that has just been left raw. Well, that was portable and you should have an economic to build the Bailey Bridge.
1 minute to go.
Could I ask for additional time? I am representing a number of other people tonight. I probably need about 2 minutes to see total.
Greg Wills more happy to give his time. I'll start involving you my time as well. I'll give my time as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillors?
I'd like to
from that. Move, second, all those in favour?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have an extra 5.
What's all conditions made an economic to build a bridge? I would have believed that a major piece of infrastructure didn't have appropriate sort of technical. Bailey Bridge was unavailable due to floods in Queensland. We should have ordered the bridge from the airport there. The new bridge needs to be lifted higher for the walking path under it. The current bridge is a 5-span bridge and smaller span. The new bridge is a 6-span bridge. Of course, it needs to be higher. I should have known that. $250,000 allowance, which I'd like to know where that ended up. Not enough money to cover a temporary bridge. These are all the things that we were told. We're told that the bridge is left in the current state will be meant to 15-ton load on the bridge. As a community, many feel bullied as we are told that if we don't accept the new bridge, there'll be a 15-ton limit on it. I've been asking on behalf of the community for engineering reports that provide this evidence since October 22. They simply didn't exist. They didn't exist until March 31st, 23, 26 days ago, that report existed. We've been told for months, almost a year, that the bridge was condemned or not fit for purpose. I can request the Freedom of Information Act a copy of the report. Now, that copy will be public for another 2 weeks. However, in a gesture of goodwill, I was allowed, in supervision, to read the report. I did that on Monday at 11 o'clock. The report is a straightforward. It's not, as we're told, the report reviewed by the insurer, it was a brief desktop assessment with theoretical conclusions. The report goes into some detail of previous full inspections on the bridge, A 2014 inspection indicated relatively minor, possibly quick-fill cracks in the U-beams and arrangements of batters from the front and back. The latest report, a level 2 2019 report, recommended treatment to defects, repair to soils, exposed reinforcement at a cost of $35,000. Neither of those reports set the bridge and is reduced a rating of 45 tonne. The pit insurance report, the whole basis of the argument tonight that's been put by my officers, is a theoretical report, desktop analysis. It would be difficult for any council to really close the bridge on the basis of a theoretical desktop analysis without proper inspections. It does recommend improvements, maintain the existing bridge, strengthen the existing bridge, replace the existing bridge. The option to maintain the existing bridge, a single lane bridge is acceptable. Council is willing to subject the bridge to ongoing monitoring inspections, the bridge could remain in use. The short to medium term. A medium term of this case is normally around about 20 years. Department of Transport and Planning have a monitoring inspection process. I won't go through it all the other, I won't have the time to take you through it, but I can. But it's a process where it keeps bridges like this. Cost to the community. What's the cost to the community? A lot of people are going to have to travel a lot of extra time. Dick Roads is the maximum detour for any closure of a road is 20 kilometres. But we're being asked to have detours of up to 45 kilometres. 55 kilometres. There is a cost for the community. There's a mental cost, a mental health cost, getting up earlier, driving in the dark on the CA road, taking days off because it's just too hard. Lost time and productivity. Businesses already struggling with increased labour costs, increased rates, and the effects of COVID. Cost of your awareness of tourism business activity and services. You can put a cost on this, and it's quite simple. By your numbers, there are 600 trips a day using the bridge. If you said that $50 per trip was a community benefit, and a lot of people sitting behind me will tell you that it's going to cost them more than $50 in wear and tear, fuel, time, mental stress. But if you said 100 trips times $50, that's $30,000 for every day the bridge is closed. It's a cost to the community. It's $210,000 a week. It's $1.2 million, $200,000 for every additional week that bridge is closed. If I'm wrong by 50%, it's still $600,000 cost to the community. The community is just cognitive with Glenburn. The community that uses this bridge is Flowerhouse, Trap Creek, and Junction Hill. As a community, we ask that you don't hire the bridge during construction. We ask that you request more time for funding. There was a funding application that went out again on the 31st of March, 26 days ago. We've been asking for months to the council to ask for more funding. At all the meetings we've said, go back and ask for more. A letter went to the minister, and it's not following that. So don't close the bridge. Go out and get more funding. The community will help you again to get the funding. We'll do what we need to do to help you do that. There's an opportunity to leave the bridge as is in the short term to get funding. Alternatively, loan the funds. It's going to cost, in your numbers, $56,000 a year to loan the money to build this bridge. Now, you may only need to borrow for 1 year because the funding might come through in 12 months. You may need to borrow for another year until you can get the funding on your balance sheet. But there is an option. Get the funding, keep the bridge open. You have a borrowing policy dated 2019 that is structured for this very dilemma.
But your time is up. Do you wish to close?
I will close. Bridges require maintenance and repair to remain strong and useful, and it builds on the collective spirit of the community. Please understand the impact of your decision today on the collective spirit of this community. Thank you.
Councillors, are there any questions? Thank you. Councillors, we've had 23 minutes of open forum. Can I have someone move that we have an extension, please? Councillor Lordings, Councillor McCauley, all those in favour?
Me, you.
Thank you. The next speakers we've got listed are Jan and Stan Ockwell or Oxwell.
Stan, you're asking for you to
go. No, I was going to stand down on everything
you said in the last person.
Thank
you. Very well done. That's all ready. Got one more. Don Street.
Huh? Everything along the side was mainly Bravesman, but with the benefit of...
If you wish to speak, please come to there so people who are coming online can hear.
I've been on Antibon Street. I'm a resident of Junction Hill. I'm a ratepayer. And every one of my family members is personally affected by the potential closure of this creek. I run an engine repair company where I do a lot of work for the Glenburn area, Murrumbidgee, Stella, Tulangi, Limestone, all these areas which are directly affected my direction of travel to go to these properties to do on-site repairs. This is going to impact substantially in the cost of the insulated piece we're travelling and time for travelling to insulations, new costs, repairs, etc. This has pretty much been covered by previous speakers, and I applaud them on the content that they have provided tonight to outline information to the council on the effects. One question which I would like to ask directly to each individual councillor, and you may choose not to answer. It's a very simple question, and it is, are any of you personally affected by the closure of this bridge in your day-to-day duties, in your work or lifestyle, health, all of the above? That's the only thing I want to know that hasn't been covered so far. Which of you people are going to be personally affected by the closure of that bridge? That's all I have to say to you.
I believe Damon Kerr is waiting to come in online.
Very hard to hear at the back here. Could you speak up, please?
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Good evening, Damon. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
Yeah, great. So Damon Kerr's my name. Thanks for your time. Now, I've got a cattle property on Breaker Day Road, quite close to the bridge. And just a couple of things I wanted to cover off today. The closure of the bridge will be of huge inconvenience to both me and my neighbours, many of whom cannot be present and can't speak tonight, and some of them who are quite elderly and have health issues. Now, a trip from my property to and my neighbour's property to Yarra Glen, Healesville and beyond to Melbourne will add approximately another 45 to 55 minutes per my calculations, and I think some of the other speakers have talked about that as well. Now, many of the residents who use that bridge along Breaker Day Road and further north, they work off farm and or make daily trips across that bridge to visit family members, buy food and groceries, care for animals on leased land, etc. So the closure of the bridge equates to significantly increased weekly petrol costs, which again have also been mentioned tonight, as well as vehicle wear and tear, but more importantly, time. And that extra time means that many of those activities that I just talked about become far less feasible. And you can't just pause some of those activities while the bridge is closed and rebuilt. So, you know, caring for sick and elderly relatives and friends, animal feeding, moving those animals, checking on their water, all that sort of stuff needs to happen daily and generally needs to happen during daylight hours. So, you know, if we say 45-minute trip each way, that's an extra hour and a half that people have to, you know, take out of their day to conduct those activities. Now, you know, this is sort of, I suppose, a personal issue, but, you know, I'm just conscious of how construction timeframes are blowing out quite significantly at the moment. And my concern is, you know, if that bridge is closed, you know, for prolonged periods, there's going to be significant impact on me. And, you know, it's not just the extra petrol and time for travelling. We're also going to be, as farmers, we're also going to be charged extra costs for delivery to the farm. So things such as fuel delivery, hay delivery, seed, equipment, spare parts, consultants, veterinary care, you know, and there's a number of managers, farm managers and farm labour who work along Breaker Day Road and beyond, who use that bridge to get to work each day. So they're also impacted. I think access to timely emergency services could also be an issue. So, you know, medical emergencies, house fires, car accidents where you need SES equipment, farm machinery accidents, you know, touch wood, none of this happens, but there's the potential, as not to mention, you know, criminal activities. A point that was raised by council at not the last meeting, but the meeting before, was that the floods of last year affected the bridge. Now, I've got to dispute this because I was there every day of the floods and I've got photos and videos at the bridge where you can clearly see where the water is, and it actually didn't impact the bridge at all. It impacted the area of land between the bridge and between the highway there. So look, in closing...
Thank you. You have 1 minute.
Yeah, so in closing, I'd just like to say that, you know, I've got a background in construction. I know, you know, projects like this do take significant time and planning, obviously, but also significant money. And if you're going to do them properly, you've got to budget accordingly. So, you know, if the funding's not in place, then my urge to council would be to delay the project until funding is in place. And I think, you know, that aligns with what some of the other presenters have said tonight. Thanks for your time.
Councillors, are there any questions? Mr. Kerr. Still there?
Yep, yep.
Still there. Just one question. Does the reduction in the load capacity of the bridge have any impact on your use of the bridge?
I mean, I have contractors bringing cattle trucks across there, and to be perfectly honest, I don't know what the tonnage of those trucks is, but potentially, yes. I don't know the answer to that, to be perfectly honest.
Okay, thank you. No others, councillors? Nope. Okay. Thank you very much. No one else? I believe you've got a position from Margaret Arnenfeld, who'd like read out their submission.
Yes, Mayor Walsh. This is on behalf of Margaret Arnenfeld. We live 1.2 kilometre from the Melbourne Highway, 14 kilometres to the other end of Breakaway Road. It will be a major inconvenience if the bridge is not available during construction. Letter dated 2nd of May 2022 highlighted a temporary bridge could be included. What has happened to this budget? Access to Melbourne Highway for emergency access is the key issue. My husband has had a heart attack and stroke in the past. I am concerned for quick response and access to medical treatment if another issue occurs. Ethically and morally, how can you restrict residents from medical access?
Thank you. A little unusual, but I'll ask, is there anyone who wants to make, who hasn't spoken before, who would like to speak before we close open forum? What's your name, sir?
Paul
Hildebrand. Hildebrand, thank you.
Just to answer the questions about the heavy loads, like I work for David and we 10 times a year we have hay cattle come over that bridge, and to do so they're 20, 30 ton. But to go truck in the middle, they dodge the idea because it's just a nightmare bringing heavy loads up to Michigan. It's unfeasible and dangerous, and it's impossible to call in. Turning to David's driveway comes from that direction also. Another point I'd like to put out, whenever we want to get a permit to build things for council, we have to do our homework, get soil tests. I don't know why the council didn't do their soil tests or they ever thought about building this bridge. I had the North Tower pipeline go through my place, and they come out shoreline, they start digging the soil tests. Why can't council think ahead again?
Any questions, councillors? No? Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of open forum. Madam CEO, do we have any questions of council? None? Thank you. Councillors, item 4.1, Breakaway Road Bridge Alignment Decision. Mr. Bain.
Thank you, Mayor Walsh. Just a bit of background first on the bridge. So Pinkins Bridge, that's known to us, was constructed in 1956 to Country Roads Board standard design, and the existing bridge, a single lane, was designed to a 40-tonne maximum load limit in 1956, which was satisfactory in those days because 33-tonne was the typical largest vehicle at that stage, and for vehicles per day of 150. So the Breakaway Road is a very important link road in the district, and council as the road authority has to ensure that the road is open to all vehicles at all standard vehicles. That means now that the bridge is required to be open to 65 tonnes, which is a B double size, even though B double we only have a small percentage of those that go through. We also did a road safety audit in 2020, which uncovered a few other issues to be addressed, and they're being addressed in the design of the bridge. And I should say that those road safety issues will be addressed no matter which option we choose. Both options are satisfactory solutions. There's no difference between them. The only difference is the cost. So with bridge condition, we do a four-yearly audit, which is as per our asset management plan, and we do it in accordance with the Vic Road standard. So it's called a level two inspection, and we engage a bridge engineer to do those inspections. The 2014 analysis showed that there was some cracking and noted that the superstructure had some fatigue damage. In 2019, that had accelerated to the case where the concrete cover was being lost and some of the reinforcement was being exposed. And there's some photos in the report which shows the rust to the. So at that stage, then, that's obviously a red flag that says that the bridge is overloaded and that it should be replaced. But that's not the only reason the bridge is being replaced. Main one is performance. So as I said, the requirement for us is really to provide open road access for our link roads for all vehicles that are registered in Victoria as standard vehicles, and that includes up to P doubles. And so therefore the road and the single lane doesn't meet those requirements. It doesn't flood, although as you pointed out, Paul, it didn't, if I pointed out, the water didn't go over the bridge in its latest flood event. According to the GVCMA, the flood level the bridge needs to be higher to meet the current flood levels. And that the bridge at the moment is not immune to flood. So it's always a risk that you'll actually lose the bridge in a flood. And as I said before, being single lane, there's a number of safety issues that are there with it. So the condition of the bridge triggered the asset engineers at the time to decide that it needed to be put up the priority list to be replaced. Bear in mind that we have 300 bridges in Murrindini. So there is a lot of bridges. It's a lot of cost to the community if we had to replace bridges. At the moment, we're replacing, we'll have to work out a way to repair breakaway bridge. So there's always that possibility that didn't have a light breakaway with the road completely closed for many years. So that certainly was what the engineers at the time were trying to avoid and discuss with the community about putting in the bid. So we received some funding from the Commonwealth, and I'll emphasise the Commonwealth, because the money is provided under the Heavy Vehicle Productivity and Safety Improvement Program. So it's there specifically for, the funding is there for us. We have to deliver freight improvements, but just to recall it, because we'll get to the next bit on about that. During the flood event, we engaged Pitt and Sherry, who are doing the work on helping us get through the assessment of all the 300 bridges that we had to deal with. And we had a discussion about this bridge in particular, and decided that the potential was that it was for a 15-ton limit, and we asked them to come back to us, if they did, with their advice in writing. And that's the one that David's seen. Bear in mind that we're very lucky to have already engaged Pitt and Ferry, because there was a lot of bridges in the state that required attention. So the current single lane bridge should theoretically be able to take up to a semi-trailer, which is 42 ton, but not the modern semi-trailers, which are 50 ton. And we talk about gross load here. and B-doubles, which are 65 tonne. So theoretically, the bridge could do that, but VicRoads has advised that this country roads board design had defects and that it's we should halve that. So theoretically, the bridge is no better than 20 tonnes at the moment, but it's showing signs of deterioration. So in their words, the current assessment is that the bridge, the style of bridge is highly deficient in modern use. So if we were to defer or delay, we're going to need to consider that we need to reduce the load on the bridge, the load limit on the bridge. So as David pointed out, there's three options available to us. We can strengthen the bridge, which would return it back to 40 tonnes. We still have a load limit. We can maintain the existing bridge and just inspect it frequently, so once a week, once a day. But then still that we would require us to put a load limit of 15 tonnes on it. So 15 tonnes would exclude buses, our waste trucks, and also CFA tankers wouldn't be allowed to use it without a permit. So we want to avoid that. So the obvious option is to replace the bridge, and we've received funding to do that for that purpose. And it's a 50-50 funding, so council is already putting in quite a large amount of money for this particular bridge. And with the construction to aim to provide an open bridge for the next 100 years. So there's two real options that were considered. One was to replace the bridge on its current alignment with some mitigation, such as providing a temporary bridge. And the second option is to replace the bridge on parallel to the current bridge and to then keep the old bridge open until such time as the new bridge is finished, we can demolish it. We've used this method before. We've just finished the bridge, McDonald's Bridge at Yark, on the Yark Road, using that same methodology. So some of the issues though that have come up since we did a review, which coincided with me arriving here, the allowance for the temporary bridge was inadequate and that we would be launching into a program that was unfunded. The total evaluation of the temporary bridge was that it should cost about an extra $400,000. So that seems rather a lot of money to spend on a temporary bridge. So the proposal then was the option two was brought forward, which was to put it forward as a parallel construction. But that also is in the same order of magnitude of budget difference. Benefits of option one are that it can be completed within the existing budget. It's got the potential savings. All of the changes that we need to do the road safety are all included in the process and the within reservation, there's no issues with us doing it. Obviously, the primary thing against it is that it's going to cost a lot of 6 weeks at least of disruption and cause travel times of up to 40 minutes in detours each way. And of course, the community, as you heard tonight, councillors, has expressed a strong opposition to this option. We have, after further community consultation, looked at other issues concerning option one, such as the personal cost impacts, which you've heard about directly from the community tonight, the public transport impacts, the impact on the school bus, personal risk safety to community members, the access of emergency services, and the risk of needing to extend the sick leave closure period in case we need to run over time. So we've looked at the options of detours, and in the report there's a table there of detours. It should be noted that for services coming from EA, there is no difference in time. So for the ambulance and for the SES, it is exactly the same time for them to attend either side of the bridge, from EA or Kinglake. So there's no change there.
That's not possible. So, the physical difference in kilometres, how is it possible to have the same travel time?
I'm not answering your questions. I'm reading out the report. So you just need to wait to the end of it and see if the mayor will allow you to ask questions. There's been a review with the emergency services, and there's been a proposed arrangement for CFA to make sure that there was they could meet their requirements on either side of the bridge. We looked at the opportunity to perhaps provide a pedestrian crossing, and that's feasible, and that's an option, and it would cost an initial cost of $180,000 extra. But we would be able to.
Thank you.
But we would have to buy the bridge, but then we would have a resale value for that pedestrian bridge. The other options are temporary vehicle crossing with culverts or pontoon are not feasible and not supported by the Catchment Management Authority. There was some discussion about whether we should charge a toll covered over time for the full $50,000. That's also not within our capability to do that. There was a discussion about whether we could defer other capital works of Glenburn to pay for the $450,000. Scheduled and costed in for Glenburn are all renewal of roads, and there's no discretionary projects there that can be moved. So that's also not available. The other option is to raise special charge rate scheme for people with properties on Breaker Day Road. And that would be for them to pay 50% of the charge. That's also not supported because not equitable to people that live on the road. The other option that was discussed and reviewed was to borrow money to fund the budget then. However, the cost of interest at the moment means that it's not acceptable in terms of our options. So with option two, which is a valid engineering option, we don't have any issues with that. The main change of cost is the realignment of the road and the supporting structure works on the banks of the river that's required. The main problem is that it's on a bend in the river and it needs some extra retaining structures there to protect the silt that's there from travelling down the river. And the realignment of the bridge, it means a realignment of the road, creation of a new road base, and sub-base, which is already in existence in the current alignment, that would give that is where the $450,000 extra cost is over and above the option one. Option two, which is the parallel bridge with the old bridge in place, will still cause will still cause delays because the construction period will be stretched out for probably 16 weeks. And that it would there'd still be delays either way, either side of the road. And also, we would still need to consider the cost of whether we allow heavy vehicles to go across the bridge. It would see under the advice that we've got, it would be to set a 15-tonne limit. Alternatively, we would have to be doing inspections to ensure the safety. So the against for option two are that it requires additional funding of $450,000 that we don't have. It's not currently available. The project period is 18 weeks, extending the traffic management requirement and presenting less inconvenience compared to option one. But there is still required closure from time to time. And it's outside the existing footprint that we have. So council has formally written to the minister, the state minister for roads and road safety, given that this is an important link road in the district and the region. We acknowledge that. That's bearing in mind that our original funding was the previous federal government. We're now in a different regime with the new federal government, and this program doesn't exist any longer in its current form. So going back to get extra money, we've asked for that, but that program's closed. So the option was considered to ask the state government, and the CEO has done so, and we haven't received a reply as of tonight. In the report, there's a financial breakdown. Note that we've grouped all three projects that we have going at the same time together because we have savings. We've realised savings, the Yark Bridge and the Yay Caravan Park Bridge. And we've put them to the Glenburn Bridge. And you'll see that balances out to zero as we are at the moment. So the budget for the current budget for Breaker Day Road Bridge Glenburn is $1,785,000, of which $1,542,536 is the contract price. And the revised total budget with the additional funding that we've moved across makes it $1.83 million. Under option two, you'll see in the table there that the difference is $495,640, which nets out to $450,000. Given that the bridge at Yark is exactly the same construction as this one, slightly smaller actually in length, but it was delivered for $1.76 million. So you can see that we're in similar range there. As far as risk is concerned, power bridge is probably reached the end of its practical life, but it can be extended, reducing the load on the ridge, or it can be extended by reinforcement. The reinforcement costs are approximately $800,000, and they would also require the bridge to be shut down for an extended period of time. So it's not a recommended option to go for by
staff, the officers. So the practical option is to replace the bridge. And given that we've already spent money on fabricating the bridge, then that's our recommendation. Given that we've not received any word from the state government on whether they're willing to contribute to this project, we'll have to recommend that we change our recommendations. So where recommendation two is that we approve to do option one, option two, we'll now have to note that the state government has requested to consider providing $450,000 to this project to allow option two to proceed. Commitment to this contribution was not provided before this meeting. As requested, therefore recommendation item two can no longer be considered. It would only leave item three, which is to proceed with the first option.
Thank you. Councillors, are there any questions? Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Bain. You mentioned there the reinforcement option. Can you talk a little bit more about
the reinforcement option?
Can you talk a little bit more about the impacts in terms of disruption on that option and on the ultimately delivered infrastructure?
Yep. So the reinforcement option would be to make large for the piers underneath the bridge and to lay a new deck over the bridge, which will be higher, and we'd have to lift the barriers on either side and the road up to the new deck. The deck would make the bridge stronger, and that would lift it up to at least 42 tonnes, which would be suitable for semi-trailers.
Please, we're not taking any more questions. Open forum has finished, and under the rules... I'll answer it. It's built within the time frame.
So to finish that question, the time period would be well over 6 weeks to do that.
Councillor Gallagher.
Should council support some variation of option two, how would the natural traffic management delays compare of that 18-week project with the delays expected under option one, so the contracted six-week closure?
Well, option two requires on-site management, which is also contributes to the extra cost, and they would then need to meter the traffic on either side coming through single lane bridge and to accommodate the machinery working in the space, so there'd be a delay 5 or 10 minutes on either side as you go through, as you wait. So similar to the delays that we've seen with big roads work on the Melbourne in recent times.
Councillor McCauley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just concerned with regard to the written request that came from Margaret Arnenfeld. So my apologies if I've got that name wrong. Whichever way we go tonight, the issue you mentioned about the emergency services and the consultation and the times and how that would affect, given the specific case of this person with this history, can you explain sort of the differences in time for the responses from the respective ambulance services, please?
So they've advised us that there's no difference in time to go in either direction.
that because it's a slightly shorter distance to go not east to Melbourne. So that's their advice to us, is that we would change their result.
Please.
What about if you live at the bridge end of Breakaway Road?
No, that's from that point, from the end of the bridge.
I'd like to see your maths on that.
Yeah, I'd like to see you doing
it. Councillor Lawrie.
That might advise someone given to
you. Just on the strengthening of the deck, at Hazeldene, we actually cantilevered the deck to make it a wider bridge. Had we looked into that?
I'm not aware of them using cantilever.
Thank you. I thought it might be quicker.
Councillor McCauley, did you have another question?
No, I was just going to make a comment, probably more than anything else, about the emergency services on the other side. Obviously, sometimes the emergency services get caught up in other areas, so you will have to call other emergency services. So it would be much of the time coming from one direction or the other. So that was just a comment to make. Thank you.
So,
Councillor Gallagher.
Perhaps answer the process. So the process has to be, we need to give time to notify everybody about a closure, so that includes Department of Transport, all the emergency services, so that they would have the routes worked out as to who's closest based on the closure. We need to notify the National Heavy Vehicle Regulator, who's in Queensland. I wonder why some of you strange Queensland vehicles coming through. It's because the regulator is there, and they will stop. They've got to put the closure into their, or the detour into their GPS for all the truck drivers. So all of these things take about 4 to 6 weeks to complete. So there is a period of time where we need to commit and get going, and otherwise the project then runs into difficulties to being delivered.
Councillor Gallagher.
Mr. Vane, could you please speak to Nicole's observation about the $1.2 million Great Victorian Rail Trail project funding?
I may. Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, please.
The ART Rail project was fully funded by the state government's regional tourism investment fund. So we received $1.2 million with another two municipalities. This is across Mitchell Shire, Murrindindi, and Mansfield Shire. And I can confirm that council did not contribute any cash contribution, but we had some officer time to assist with the project management.
Councillor Geringer.
Thank you. Mr. Bain, just in relation to the time delays for either bridge, regardless of the option that gets agreed on tonight, trucks will have to be diverted anyway, will they, for both options?
Yes, I think the base would be that we would divert the heavy vehicles unless it's one made. Local members, local residents, businesses made application to us. So we're treated the same way that we've dealt with the flood damaged bridges. We look at it case by case basis and give them access or deny.
Just one more question, if I may. The time delays in relation to the option two with the additional bridge, you said possibly 5 to 10 minutes. That can't be confirmed either way, can it? Obviously, there's other factors. So it is possible that 5 to 10 minutes is only a guesstimate, is it?
Oh, yes, yes. So it will depend very much on the time, where the contractors are up in the construction, as whether they're moving material. materials, also because the road is being changed. There'll be a point in time when the road is closed because we're moving the road and the road is being constructed on either side of it. So there will be delays in either direction, in either way. So I think that's probably a key issue, is there's a bit of an assumption that the original option of the temporary bridge was going to be no change to the actual process, where in fact the reality will be that there will be delays with either way.
Thank you.
Councillor Gallagher.
Mr. Vane, David mentioned that there was no contact with the community for a period of 7 months after the project commencement in March 2022. Can you talk a bit to the cause of those delays for that initial project?
It's really to do with staff issues, I think, and those have been resolved since I've come aboard, so I think they've all been worked through. And then, you know, we did have a very large flood event, so that meant that by October, it wasn't until October that we came back to the community to engage with them.
So fair to say that the reason for no communication with the community because the project wasn't effectively active?
Not as it should have been.
What's the impediment to releasing the Break a Day Bridge Assessment 2023 by the consultants Pitney and Sherry?
There isn't now, so we've had a feedback from them. The only proviso was that they don't want their names on it, so they don't want the community to ring them up, but the actual report can be published with the papers. So in a redacted form, just with their names scrubbed out. The reason for that is it's not a commission report, it's just their technical advice to us. So just confirming what they told us in October.
Mr. Vane, there's been a couple of people asked what happened to the money that was originally allocated for the Bailey Bridge now that it's not going to be built.
So the original allocation was that was a variable item, not a fixed price item. And there was only $80,000 allocated in the budget.
So they've used $80,000 or there's only $80,000 left?
$80,000 was marked as for that option in the original
in the project. Bailey Bridge, for the Bailey Bridge. So part of that's already been spent in the initial work, has it?
No, the for the Bailey Bridge, the actual cost is more like $400,000. And they had not allocated sufficiently.
I'm a little lost there. So within the original tender, it was $400,000 for the Bailey Bridge?
No, the original tender didn't include a Bailey Bridge.
We
can't hear. The original tender was what about?
Didn't include the Bailey Bridge.
What?
I can't tell you. I wasn't here then. Just giving you the facts.
Okay, thank you.
They did, they allowed $80,000. So as we've seen, when we've just redone the same exercise for a footbridge, which is $180,000, you can see that the road bridge was never going to be $80,000.
Someone has to answer,
Got that right. Councillors, are there any more questions?
We did have that.
Please, Mr. Bay, we'll just hold there for a moment. Are there any more questions? Councillors, we have a revised motion before us. It's been revised because of the lack of response from the state government. Basically, that means that the recommendation will have part one, which is about the advice about the state of the bridge, and that part two will be deleted, and part three will just be approve the construction of the new Breaker Day Road bridge on the existing alignment as outlined in option one. Start works on 15th of May 2023, noting that this will require a closure of the bridge for 6 weeks. Do I have anyone who wishes to move that recommendation? Councillor Hazel.
It's really hard to
hear
anything going on.
We need to know what's going on.
Well, I'll repeat it all again.
Good speaker.
As a result of the discussion so far, we have a revised recommendation before us. Council note the advice from the Bridge Audit Consultant Report and the engineering advice from officers regarding the decision to replace the existing bridge at Breaker Day Road as soon as practicable, in accordance with Council's role as the coordinating road authority. Part two of the original recommendation has now been deleted because it is irrelevant in the face of the fact that we have no advice from the state government that they will provide assistance in the form of $450,000. Part three of the old recommendation now reads, approve the construction of the new Breaker Day Road bridge on the existing alignment as outlined in option one, and start works on 15th of May 2023, noting that this will require a closure of the bridge for 6 weeks. I then asked if there is anyone who wishes, any councillor wishes to move that recommendation as a motion, and Councillor Haslam has moved the motion. I will now ask councillors, is there a councillor who will second that motion? Councillor Macaulay. Please.
I need to understand what just happened.
We've moved.
If I could speak, you have said we're going to close the bridge for 6 weeks completely and go ahead with the rebuilding of the bridge. Is that correct?
That is the motion before us at the moment. Councillor has, you wish to speak to the motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is obviously probably one of the hardest decisions, certainly for me to make. But in light of all the information that I've received, I understand the concerns from the community. As I obviously live the other side of the Shire, and this particular bridge probably doesn't affect me very often. But there are many other bridges that do affect me, or many other road closures that do affect other sides of the Shire. Whether it's Breaker Day Road, which they've been out since the floods, and it's probably 2 years.
Breakaway.
That's one bridge. The Black Spur, that often gets closed for 4 weeks, 6 weeks at a time. So I have to consider everyone in the Shire and what I really do believe is the best, quickest and best option overall. And that's why I have made this motion.
Please. Councillor Macaulay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Get that sent down.
Taylor, are you there? And thank you. Taylor, are you there? I can't see you. I'd like to eyeball you when I'm saying what I'm saying. And Paul, and David, and Jan, and Stan, and Don, and Damon Kerr, who was online, and Margaret Hyman-Felt, who wrote her moving letter. Thank you for taking the time tonight to give your view of this closure and how it will affect you individually. Whilst I don't live on your side of the Shire, I do live in Tagity and have been affected, like Councillor Hatham, on many occasions by the closure of the road, the Black Spur. My son, at various stages, was an apprentice like yourself, and we had to get in the car and drive him down from our place at Tagity all the way up to Yay and all the way down to Hillsville where he was doing his apprenticeship. I do understand the time and the angst that this will cause to the community. I am very, very aware of that. I also run a business very affected by closures off the roads, and I understand your concerns there. However, I've been elected to be making decisions that aren't necessarily pleasing to everybody. I have to make decisions and be part of the decision-making process that affects across the whole council. We have to be fiscally responsible. We bandy that word around. As you know, we had serious impact by the floods last year, and we've had infrastructure damage across the Shire. I have listened to what you've said. I've listened to the officer's report. I have read this report time and time and time again. And I do not believe that the extra $450,000 that we would have to pay, we get enough benefit out of that extra funding. I am sorry. I'm saying it to your face. I'm not hiding away behind.
We haven't had a final figure.
No, but this is a decision that I have to make tonight. So I am standing here and saying I will be supporting the officer's recommendation and supporting this motion. And I apologise wholeheartedly. I know it affects you, but I have to be responsible in terms of the other assets that we have to fix and repair and be mindful for across the Shire. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other councillors who wish to speak for or against? Councillor Lording.
I wish to speak, forget it. I wish to speak against the motion. I have no intention of voting for it. I'm torn between two things in supporting the council and the entire Shire and supporting the people that voted for me. I am your representative, so I am voting with what you require.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor. To answer the question posed by Don and Paul, I'm not affected by bridge closure on a day-to-day basis either. I'd like to commence by thanking council officers who have worked hard to consider a suite of creative options to minimise the impact the bridge renewal works will have. I note that each option targets a sound engineering outcome. I'd particularly like to recognise the efforts of councillors Lording and Carpenter, who have assertively echoed the concerns of residents in the vicinity of Breaker Day Road Bridge during each of our many briefings on this matter. Above all, I appreciate residents and business owners who have taken the time to speak with us this evening and who have engaged over the preceding months, and for taking the initiative to establish an online forum for your local perspectives to be shared. And my sincere thanks also to those who have come this evening to address council. Throughout community meetings and briefings, I've heard that there are a considerable number of vehicle movements across the bridge daily. Commuters business operators and families are variously affected by the prospect of a bridge closure. The impact to bridge users can include additional costs, lengthening detours and additional travel times, public transport impacts and personal safety concerns. It's been reported that Glenburn is serviced by police, ambulance and SES services in Yay and King Lake, so their response times are unlikely to be impacted. Despite some proactive contingency planning by local CFA teams, there is residual anxiety related to emergency services access, and I acknowledge that. The extent of community anxiety and impact is clear and present, and it weighs heavily as I can contemplate this motion. I support the first part of the motion, which notes the audit consultant's advice for the need to replace the bridge. Mr. Bain pointed out that reinforcement would not eliminate the disruption, and the outcome after the inconvenience would be a single lane bridge with a limited lifespan relatively. So it's a bridge construction method then, it's a question of inconvenience. For me, the question before us distills down to whether council is in a position to invest $450,000 in some minimisation of the disruption to light vehicle traffic movements. Council's draft budget, which has been published to comment, highlights the fact that council's most fundamental costs exceed the revenue that it has capacity to generate. The budget delivers few discretionary projects which could be abandoned in favour of funding Breaker Day Road bridge construction option two. Council has the option this evening to borrow funds to deliver construction option two. Council's procurement policy technically supports this action. Given that the ultimately engineered outcome is the same, and despite the reduced inconvenience of the light vehicle traffic, I'm afraid I can't support handing the expense to future Murrumbidgee Shire citizens to repay. Any period of outage for any bridge represents an inconvenience for all bridge users. While I'm certain that my reasoning offers little consolation to those affected by the Breaker Day Road Bridge project, I acutely understand your predicament. Nevertheless, after some difficult community conversations, some thoroughly considered solutions, and Council's economic reality, this course of action best serves the interest of the whole Murrumbidgee Shire community for now and into the future.
Councillor Carpenter.
I want to thank everybody for coming along tonight. And I'm probably the councillor that uses that bridge more than anyone else. I do just at the bottom of Junction Hill on the Little Sea Road. So I do use that bridge a lot. And I really understand the inconvenience and the cost and the difference that it would make. I also know that we have to be fiscally responsible. It's our job as councillors to be wise with the way money gets spent. And as many of the other councillors have said, especially Councillor Gallagher, we just don't have enough money to do what we need to do in this shire. And so it makes the decision really, really difficult for us. And we're shaking their heads and thinking, oh, everyone's made up their mind already. It's a really hard decision, and I know whatever decision they make, it's going to be people who will be unhappy.
Most of the points for and against have been discussed already. The one overriding factor is the same, for me, is the same point that has been partially made, and one which I raised at the last community meeting at Glenburn. We are in such a financial position, and despite the view that we can flow into next year and just use up more money next year, we don't have more money next year. Next year's budget, which is out in draft at the moment, shows clearly it is a deficit budget and we just don't have any spare money anywhere. We've already applied to the state government and we can't bank on that, and that would then jeopardise the whole project in terms of the time and the federal funding, which must be spent within a certain time frame. So with all of these constraints upon us, I can only, unfortunately, support the recommendation. Councillor Haslam, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Close.
Councillors, we have a motion before us. All those in favour? Thank you. Those against? Carried.
Division, please.
Thank you, Councillor Lording. Councillors, we have a division. I would ask all those in favour to please stand and state their name. Councillor John Walsh.
Councillor Karen Haslam.
Councillor Damien Gallagher.
Councillor Sandus McCauley.
Councillor Ilona Geringer.
Thank you. Please be seated. Those who are against, please stand, state their name.
My name is Eric Lording, and I am councillor for your area.
Councillor Sue Carpenter, Cheviot Ward.
Thank you, councillors. Item 4.2, Capital Works Quarterly Report, March 2023. Mr. Bain again, please, and might need the microphone.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mann.
Mr. Bay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is the third quarter report for Capital Works, the report to March 31, 2023. So at the moment, the program is either out to tender, underway, or complete, or nearing completion, except for those.
Just one moment. Please, in the audience, people in the gallery, can you either converse outside or be quiet? Thank you. Mr. Bain again, sorry about that.
And the total projects under delivery is 134 for this financial year. The key highlights for this quarter are that the gravel roads resheeting program has finally got underway with the weather suitables. The sealed roads rehab project is also underway, although the road reseals may be delayed till warm weather. And place activation works have been complete in this quarter, and the Inlake Glenburn Road drainage projects went to practical completion during the period. Just a snapshot of the budget. And the program, regional budget was 18.58 million. The current revised budget is 20.12. And at this stage, at the 31st of March, there was 7 million of actual expenditure, 7.2 and 8.3 of further commitments, meaning that there's 15.5 in progress at the 31st of March. Much of that will be for At the half-year review, we did some major revisions, and a number of the items were revised. So this only reflects changes since the mid-year review. And the proposed change is only to change 150,000, which is part of the LRCI round three allocation to the Kinglake Village streetscape. That's in conjunction with the Kinglake Village development, which has been delayed due to construction costs and other general construction issues. They are going to, they're proceeding though. They're about to give you a presentation on the new proposed design. But to allow them to complete the works, we're recommending that we switch the funding around from this round to a future round, and to reallocate the money to existing projects that need the work, which is to reallocate the 150,000 of this grant to Yay Recreation Reserve site entry upgrades, to upgrade that from 80 to 120,000. To displace council funding. These are all to displace council funding. Alexander Rotary Park upgrade and the Downey Street car park upgrade. And that balances out to the program. Therefore, the Kinglake Village streetscape will then appear in a LRCI 4 program. Just to give a snapshot of where we are with some of the major projects, obviously the bridge renewal project we discussed tonight for Yark, and the Yark Caravan Park is about to commence on the 1st of May and will be completed by the long weekend in June. The Skyline Road Yildon upgrade design has been completed to the satisfaction of the state authorities, and in fact we've gone a bit further with the funding and now gone detailed design to the stage where they've actually walked the entire length, 21 kilometres. No, they didn't, they drove, they cheated for a bit of it, but they've gone through a lot of the tourist lookouts and things like that. The Blue Gums Trail is near completion. And the Alexander Rotary Park visitor and activity precinct is practically complete and ready for handover in a few weeks. So I refer to the recommendation just to receive the report, approve the deferral of the Kinglake Village streetscape to round four, and to allocate funds from LRCI to the other LRCI 3 projects, which is our only option under the grant rules to that ministerial approval is to move it to projects that are already identified. So that's why we picked those projects that are already in the program. And to allocate funds for Kinglake Village streetscape from the next round, the LRCI 4.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions? Well, I've got one question in relation to the reallocation of the funds from the streetscape. Am I correct in thinking that the 150,000 can only be allocated within the same program and couldn't be, for example, taken out to try and part fund the Breaker Day Bridge, which we just decided on?
That's correct, yes.
Thank you. No other questions, councillors? Well, we have a recommendation before us. Perhaps one move. Councillor Geringer.
Thank you, Mayor. As to move the recommendation as per the officers. Thank you.
Thank you. And can I get someone to second, please? Councillor Lordy. Councillor Geringer, you wish to speak?
Just very briefly, thank you, Mayor. Initially, I was a bit concerned about the deferral of the Kinglake Village streetscape, but moving forward, considering it can't be completed within the timeframe, I am happy that we will be allocated just a little bit more for when it does go ahead this financial year. So I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
Councillor Lordy.
I had the exact same worries as Councillor Gerringer, but I fully agree with what we're doing. Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to speak for or against? Councillor Gerringer, you wish to close?
Close, thank you, Mayor.
Councillors, we have the motion before us. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Item 5.1, Grants and Contributions Program, April Allocations. So it has on this.
You can have a conflict.
Thank you, Mayor Welsh. Good evening, councillors. The purpose of this report is the Mayor has indicated the April 2023 Grants and Contributions Program allocations and variations for noting and endorsement. We'll provide a summary and there'll be a number of recommendations preceding the summary. Initially, we'll start with the variation requests. Officers have assessed the following grant variations and provide the following recommendations. The first variation is for Eildon Action Incorporated for the Eildon Community Stage project. The project was developed by Eildon Action to build a community stage to support event delivery at the community or by the community. The original timelines proposed within the submission of not enabled delivery due to challenges experienced with obtaining the necessary building permits. The timeline extension is proposed until the 30th of September this year. And the variation is recommended by the panel. So the seek council's endorsement for the time variation as per the agenda.
Councillors, any questions on that particular item for the Eildon Action Group? Can I have someone move that we endorse the variation for the Eildon Action Incorporated, the time variation for the community stage? Thank you. Councillor McCauley. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Gallagher. Councillor McCauley, wish to speak?
No, thank you.
Councillor Gallagher.
No, thank you, Mayor.
Belly. Speak. Does anyone else wish to speak? Wish to close?
Close, thank you.
Thank you. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Can we invite Councillor Haslam back in, please?
The second variation was initially submitted by the Alexandra District Health for a project titled Healthy at Alex Hub. The project was developed by the Alexandra District Health to provide a series of health-promoting workshops and activities for the community during 2022. The team at the Alexandra District Health experienced challenges with staffing and also a lower than originally planned project budget, both of which restricted the delivery capacity and the engagement with the community during 2022. There's been a request to extend the delivery timeline and also for a reduced scope to support eight health promoting workshops instead of the originally proposed 13. And the variation of both time and scope is recommended by the panel. I'll continue on. We have also for noting two new applications that have been assessed and have been awarded under delegation. We've had initially a application from the Whittlesea Kinglake Anglican Parish for the Anzac Day Dawn Service, which was obviously yesterday. The application was received under the Community Projects and Events category, and the annual Anzac Day Dawn Service is attended naturally by a large number of community members, and the request was for support to hire sound and lighting to enhance the event safety and quality. And dawn service, obviously quite dark in the morning, so a contribution of $800 was granted by the panel under delegation for that particular application. Secondly, we had an application from the Yay Golf Club for their centenary dinner dance celebration. This application was received under the fee reduction category, and the Yay Golf Club will celebrate their 100th year anniversary with the dinner dance to be held in this town hall in Yay on Saturday, the 20th of May. Community and club members alike, both present and past, are invited to purchase tickets to attend the event, and a fee reduction for the hall hire of $405 has been granted by the panel under delegation. I'll keep moving along. Moving on to the new applications, and these are for council decision. These have been also assessed by the panel. Initially, we have an application from the Yay Wetlands Discovery Centre for NAIDOC Week celebrations and events also. The application similarly was received under the Community Projects and Events category, and the funding will support the Yay Wetlands Committee to coordinate events at the Yay Wetlands Discovery Centre during NAIDOC Week, which is held between the 2nd and 9th of July this year. And the activities and events will be supported by leaders of the Tungurung people, who are the local First Nations people. Funding will support the Murrindindi community to celebrate the history, culture and achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people during that week. A grant of $4,850 is recommended by the panel. The next submission, the Murrindindi Woodburn Community Hub, a project targeting soundproofing for the community hub. Application was received under the Community Projects and Events category. The funding will contribute to soundproofing at the community hub, which is the primary meeting place for the Murrindindi Woodburn community. The project, when completed, will enhance community participation outcomes with improved acoustics, minimising sound disruption during programs and events. A grant of $5,000 is recommended by the panel. Next application by the Flowerdale Community House, titled Community Lunch Group for Flowerdale and Surrounding Towns. Similarly, this project was also received under the Community Projects and Events category. And the funding will reduce the program costs associated with the weekly lunch program for 2023, run over 40 sessions. The program provides an opportunity for Flowerdale residents with lower economic capacity to maintain community connection and health outcomes over an affordable meal. Connection with the community house also supports referrals to support agencies where required, which further enhances community members' wellbeing outcomes. A grant of $2,000 is recommended by the panel. Next application, the Mother's Day Classic Foundation, Alexandria Yane District Mother's Day Classic is the title. Application similarly received under the Community Projects and Events category. The event is delivered on the 14th of May 2023 and supports fundraising for breast cancer research, with all proceeds going to the National Breast Cancer Foundation. The event is coordinated in Alexandria and includes fun activities for community members to enjoy, combined with an annual walk on the rail trail. A grant of $1,000 is recommended by the panel for that particular project. And the final application is from the Alexandria District Health Primary Health for an aquatic physiotherapy pilot program at the Alexandria Indoor Heated Pool. Similarly, the project was received under the the Community Projects and Events category, and the funding will reduce the costs associated with delivering an aquatic physiotherapy program for 40 clients with chronic health conditions. Funding will cover Alexandria Indoor Heated Pool Hire, program advertising and equipments. Participants will learn strategies to manage their health conditions and will be encouraged to maintain personal use of the indoor pool programs at the conclusion of this particular initiative, and a grant of $5,000 is recommended by the panel. That concludes my summary, and I guide council back to the agenda and the recommendations or for endorsement that are currently there, and also the noting of the items under delegation as well for decision making.
Yeah. Councillors, are there any questions? Councillors, we have the recommendation before us, and let me summarise. The council endorse item 1A, note items 2A and B, and endorse items 3A, B, C, D, and E.
Now, I think it's 1B.
Yes.
Sorry, did I say 1A? Mistake. 1B. Can I have someone move the recommendation? Councillor Geringer. Thank you. Someone second. Councillor Gallagher. Councillor Geringer, you wish to speak?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Gallagher?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Does anyone else wish to speak for or against any of the items?
No, thank you.
Councillor Geringer, you wish to close?
Close, thank you.
The councillors, we have the motion before us. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Item 5.2.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The next
thing announced it first. Sorry. Early Education Service and Infrastructure Review. Mr. Collar.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The following report I provide for councillors and the community will provide a summary of the early education service and infrastructure review. Similarly, will be preceded with a suite of recommendations. So in August 2022, Council commissioned the Community Childcare Association to conduct the review focusing on future service and infrastructure requirements for early education, known as kindergarten, and childcare across Murrumbindi, including a deeper focus on Yay and Alexandra services, which are experiencing challenges in meeting service demands. Deliverables for the consultant included data analysis, service provider consultation, and to provide recommendations to enhance service delivery and meet the future service demand requirements. The review was facilitated by a specialist consultant to support an independent analysis for council. The review coincided with the state government's announcement under the Best Start, Best Life reforms to expand the current pre-prep four-year-old kindergarten program from 15 hours a week up to 30 hours a week. And in January of this year, 2023, Murrumbindi services were announced in the initial rollout of this expansion, which starts in 2025. Services have until 2032 to be compliant, which gives us some room to work collaboratively within the community. Ultimately, this is a doubling of the current 15 hours per week for kindergarten, and will intensify the building capacity and staffing issues that are being experienced across Murrumbindi Shire. I'd like to note also, Mr. Mayor, that aside from the Murrumbindi Family Daycare Service, the council does not run or deliver any kindergarten or long day services within Murrumbindi. Current modelling highlighted in the review indicates that service providers in Alexandra and Yay are currently experiencing limited availability for kinder and childcare places. Waiting lists exist, and restrictions are also present on the ability to expand services within current building and land footprints. The 30 hours of funded four-year-old kindergarten starting in 2025 will exacerbate the situation given existing infrastructure constraints. Now, there is a risk that if action is not taken, the children will miss out on this important opportunity to attend the 2 years of free preschool education under the Best Start reforms. Officers prepared with the state government and service providers to consider the recommendations in the report, which include council and service providers to investigate and plan for infrastructure delivery requirements in Alexandra, developing Yay into an early education and childcare service hub, and investigating building of a kindergarten service as part of the Yay primary school, furthering of governance support from council to service providers, with the most preferred option for council to investigate being an early years manager. Developing an early education workforce plan or support strategies to retain and attract staff across Murrindindi Shire. Establish a kindergarten, long day care and community service hub in Eildon in the next 15 years. Continuing to support and explore the expansion of family daycare within the Murrindindi Shire and expanding the children's services unit within council. A local reference group is proposed to enable the development of a shared action plan to jointly address the short and medium term challenges facing the sector and our community. That concludes my summary, Mr. Mayor, and I guide council to the recommendation that's also included within the agenda and seek your endorsement.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions? Then we have the recommendation. Is someone prepared to move the recommendation? Councillor Carpenter, thank you.
As per the officer's recommendation, please move.
And someone second, please. Councillor Gallagher. Councillor Carpenter, you wish to speak to the motion?
Just to say that early childhood's a very, very important part of children's development, and I hope that the facilities in our shire can be improved for the huge demand there is for childcare. Thank you.
Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor. I agree with Councillor Carpenter. The report highlights the capacity constraints that local service providers are experiencing. We've seen the difficulty attracting and retaining key workers to the region, and one important parameter for families to consider is the availability of childcare and early kids education. To that end, I welcome the opportunity to support officers to foster a dialogue with the state government and to accelerate some solutions to the problems which Mr. Collarette highlighted. I thank the officers for seeking the report.
Anyone else wish to speak for or against? Can I just endorse the comments that have been made to date and recognise the fact that in at least two of the community meeting sessions that we've had, the issue of the lack of childcare or family childcare or early education services is restricting the ability of people to work within this shire. So I think then when we also look at the fact that the state government has launched a very ambitious program and chosen this area to be part of the initial rollout, I hope that we can successfully advocate to the state government to get sufficient funds to ensure that this early rollout is totally successful and thus will support our own economic development. Councillor Carpenter, you wish to close?
Close, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillors, all those in favour? Carried. Item 6.1. Council Plan 2021-2025 Quarterly Performance Report, 1st of January to 31st of March. Sir Etcheberry.
Mr. Mayor, progress today has been limited to much lengthened period in delivering the Council's program and action plan. Up from 90%. Newport Township is 100% on track, up from 91%. Growth and opportunity, 100% on track, up from 86%. Our protected environment remains stable at 90%. 87%. From 79%. The patient and management model of the EI Resource Recovery Centre is currently behind schedule. It's expected to be completed by 30th of June as planned. Since 31st of March, three actions are delayed or deferred for completion in the 23-24 financial year. The rating strategy is currently delayed, which is due by September Council meeting. The community engagement policy is deferred and will be due by the 23-24 financial year. And the road asset management plan review is currently on hold and is expected to be completed in the 23-24. So recommendation is that Council adopt the Council Plan 21-25 progress report, January 2 March 2023, as contained in attachments.
Thank you. Any questions, councillors? Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Echeverry, I understand just from a governance perspective, I understand that there's some policy reviews that have been deferred to the 24 financial year. Are there any statutory requirements which will need to be deferred?
There's no statutory requirement. We just need to report at the end of the financial year that those actions are not completed, as taxpayer for June, but they will be continuing in the new financial year. We just have to note it.
Any other questions? No? Then, councillors, can I have someone move the recommendation? No. Councillor Gallagher.
Recommendation, thank you.
For the officer's report. Have someone second, please. Councillor McCauley. Councillor Gallagher, please speak.
Thank you, Mayor. Council's appreciation of the organisation's management of business as usual in light of the obstacles of 2022 and 23 has been shared and I think is maintained. I welcome the report and I look forward in eager anticipation to a settled, stable final quarter in which real progress can be achieved on our year two targets. Thank you.
Councillor McCaw.
Nothing more than to reiterate what Councillor Gallagher has said. And I think given the hectic environment we've had over the last year with the flooding and different emergency events, the officers are to be commended for keeping up their high level of work. So thank you, Pasa. Thanks on to the officers, please.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak for or against? Let me add my words of congratulations for the work done. Thank you.
Councillor
Gallagher. Close. Thank you. Councillors, all those in favour? Carried. I've been reminded we've been going for over 2 hours, so I'll take the option of adjourning for 10 minutes. We'll return here at 8:20 p.m. If we can just close for the moment. Councillors, item 6.2, Quarterly Finance Report, March 2023. Ms. Nichols-Beattie, over to you.
Quarterly Financial Report for the period ending 31st of March 2023. Accordance with the Local Government Act 2020. The report includes the following statements: the comprehensive income statement, balance sheet, statement of cash flow, and reconciliation of non-ordinary cash. The income statement provides information in two budgetary components. Firstly, the forecast adjustment. The forecast provision for the financial year has improved by $16,350. Mainly in relation to the adjustments including flood recovery, rent income and expenditure, as well as the budget movements are detailed in the explanation. The second area is around the year-to-date budget variances. The year-to-date we have a $9.5 million operating surplus for the period, which is $490,000 favorable, or 5.4%. The main areas relate to grants, both operating and capital, where grant income received in advance, or there might be some adjustments to follow around capital grants, which are recognised to match the progress of associated capital works projects. The other area, the major area of benefit of available to budget is the employee benefits. This is actually relating to vacancies, which are impacting our ability to know some of our statutory fees and income, but also there are some areas where we are replacing vacancies with contractors. Other reports are only in attachments. Also, want to mention the calendar that have been included in the report. Just would like to make a correction to the allowances amount for Councillor Gallagher should be $6,293. Allowances total $69,000. Councillors, you have before you the reports. And the recommendation for the financial report 31st March 2023 with the adjustment.
Councillors, any questions? I think it will be these meeting. We have a report that indicates on a quarterly basis and a year-to-date basis quite a healthy surplus. I understand that the underlying position, excluding grants, is that we're still heading for a deficit. Is that still the case?
That's correct. We are ahead of our underlying budgets, underlying results. So our underlying result, meaning we've been taking out our capital adjustments, our capital grants, contributions, and our underlying result is 1 million against the 2.3 million budget. So it is favourable. It's favourable in that area. However, the full year impact of expenditure and adjustment capital grants, we expect to have an underlying deficit of 3.3.
There being no other questions, councillors, can I have someone move the recommendation? For Gallagher, someone second. Councillor Geringer. Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor. I just get thank the officers for the report. Thank Ms. Nichols Beatty for presenting and quarterly financial report.
Councillor Geringer, you wish to speak?
No, thank you.
Does anyone else wish to speak for or against?
Thank you.
Mr. Gallagher, you wish to close?
Close, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillors, all those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Item 7, Councillor and CEO reports. Do we have any notices of motion? Thank you. Councillor Carpenter.
No, thank you, Mayor, not this one.
Yes. Councillor Gallagher.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. On the 23rd of March, people, businesses and not-for-profit groups of Alexandra turned out in force at the Alexandra Town Hall to support those in the community who rely on face-to-face service to perform fundamental banking transactions. The Alexandra Traders Association initiative has led to fruitful discussions with Yeehan District Community Bank directors about an enhanced agency experience for Alexandra. I'd like to acknowledge you, Mayor Walsh, for immediately lending Council's support to such an association and for addressing a comprehensive submission to the Australian Senate Inquiry into bank closures in rural Australia. Thanks too to the many well-engaged Alexandra and Murrumbidgee Shire citizens whose familiar names are listed beside their personal submissions to the Senate Committee's inquiry. I look forward to a banking venue being established and a continuity of local financial services being realised. Supported by Murrumbidgee Shire Council, Murrumbidgee Food and Wine Inc. hosted a Jobs Expo in late March. A valuable forum enabled participants to share their challenges and their solutions to recruitment and retention. Young people from Alexandra were able to consider the many local and flexible employment options on offer. Easter weekend saw so many welcome visitors take in our many natural attractions and perhaps just as many, looking at the Alexandra Easter Fair, the Rotary Easter Art Show in Alexandra, or the Within the Land Sculpturing exhibition in Akron. Visitors to Alexandra and surrounds are always most welcome to take to make Murrindindi Shire their home for a few days, overnight, or for just an afternoon. I had the opportunity to attend the Inspire Me meetup at Gotay Shepparton in late March. The event was hosted by Startup ShakeUp, an ecosystem conceived to support the innovation community to survive and to thrive. Several participants spoke of their experience in the network and the value of the ecosystem in supporting them to establish their enterprise and to grow, to employ people and to contribute to their local economy. As Council leads development of a local development strategy to shape the economic future of Murrindindi Shire, I welcome provision for supporting knowledge economy employers and workers. The draft budget, as we know, for 2023-24 was endorsed for publishing and for community comment on the 5th of April at a special meeting of Council. Council continues to welcome submissions and suggestions via website or in writing or in person at one of Council's offices. Over the coming weeks, Council will work to develop its Year 3 Priority Action Plan. Given the impact of recent emergencies leading to a deferral of some Year 2 initiatives and given the budget revenue constraints, the discussions will be focused on the key priorities described in Council's 2021-2025 Council Plan. Given the number of land use planning applications, the budget submission process, anticipated level of community participation this evening, the April Council meeting agenda will be necessarily covered across the course of this evening and next Wednesday, the 3rd of April at 6 p.m. at the A Council Chambers. Finally, thank you to those in Alexandra and across the Shire who took time on Anzac Day to pause and reflect on sacrifice in service of Australia, lest we forget.
Yeah. Councillor Geringer.
No, thank you, Mayor.
Councillor Lordy.
Thank you, sir. Anzac Day was upon us again. I attended the Kellogg Lodge ceremony with Councillor Gallagher, but it was a bit late due to two sets of roadworks. But the residents were again all smiles, having a uniformed person attend, complete with ceremonial sword. Then at Glenburn at 6 a.m, I was pleased to see almost 100 people attend and then adjourned to the Glenburn Hall, where there was robust discussions. The Vietnam veterans were very interested in some of the equipment that I brought along to salute the flag, and thanks go to the Victorian Police for allowing that. Similarly, at Flowerdale, there were about 87 people attended, so it has increased on the last 2 years, which were hurt due to COVID. And we had a very similar type of response. Very impressive that so many people decided to attend. Thank you.
Councillor McCormick.
Thank you. As the 5th of May draws closer, the reality of the irresponsible National Australia Bank closure and its impact on the community becomes clearer with the failure of the NAB ATM last week and the queue of people trying to do their banking and withdrawals within the bank. Council, as Councillor Gallagher has outlined, has been pleased to be actively supporting the exploration of other options in partnership with the Alexandra traders and community members to ensure essential banking continuity in Alexandra. Like Councillor Gallagher, last month I noted that I was looking forward to attending the Murrindindi Jobs Expo at the Alexandra Football Rooms. Wow, that was an exciting event. Congratulations to the Murrindindi Food and Wine Inc. on this hugely successful event. The club rooms were full of people networking, resource sharing, and experts sharing industry insights. It was great to see the Alexandra Secondary students soaking up all of the available information, as well as many other locals and businesses. I hope this is the first of many such valuable events for our community. Again, well done to all participants. The artwork on the Great Victorian Rail Trail has now been fully installed. It is exciting to see and hear the commentary that the artwork is generating. Like so many artwork projects, the responses are strong. People either liking or hating. And isn't that what art is about? The wider implication is that the people are taking the time to visit and walk along the rail trail in order to see this new project, hence achieving the original goal of establishing the Great Victorian Rail Trail as a thriving recreational tourism experience that drives positive visitor economy outcomes for the destinations, businesses and communities associated with it. In association with the completion of the artworks, I have been advised by several people visiting Melbourne in the last few weeks who have noticed several art trams wrapped in the Ride High Country, Victoria's premier cycling destination artwork. And of course, Murrindindi is showcased as part of this premier cycling and rail trail destination project. And finally, I was once again honoured to attend the Marysville Anzac Day commemorative service, and congratulations once again to the community of Marysville, the Lions Club and the various other groups, the RSL, the Men's Shed and the many the SES, CFA members and other community members who participated. Thank you very much.
Councillor Haslam.
Thank you, Mayor. My portfolio information. The draft climate change action plan is now being implemented. Public consultation is due to start later this month. Recruiting for a replacement project officer and environmental programs will commence in April. This person will have a key role in the implementation of the climate change action plan. Regional tenders for future waste services are complete. Council is preparing for public consultation on waste collection and disposal services, recycling collection and recovery. This will include plastic film or soft plastics, glass collection and recovery, including local recycling options, food and organics collection and processing, high-grade compost processing. Waste skip bins to service visitors is to be halted following severe problems this season. Don't forget, free green waste is still available until the 30th of April. There's no limits and there's only a few days left, so take advantage while it's available. Mother Nature was not kind this Easter. Unfortunately, many events were cancelled throughout the Shire, including the Easter Eildon Twilight Market. I know it was a big disappointment to many visitors. I'd like to pass on my personal thanks to all the artists, stall holders, food and beverage vendors that had prepared for a very busy weekend. The time, effort, and cost sustained for a non-event is very unfortunate. Your understanding and support for your community is a credit to you. Anzac Day, I had the honour, along with Neil Campbell, to visit Darlingford Nursing Home in Eildon for their Anzac Day ceremony. It was a lovely tribute to the Anzacs. I also attended the Anzac Eildon ceremony at the Cenotaph. The weather was perfect, which encouraged a great turnout. It was fantastic to see over 200 people paying respect. It was especially heartening to see all ages participating. We were fortunate this year to have members of the CFA on parade. Also, Tim, who is a serving member of the 22nd Engineer Regiment, conduct the ceremony. And this was followed by Leon Nicoloudis on trumpet, playing the last Boston Reveille. It was moving to have Leo play live. I would like to thank the Eildon RSL who provided a wonderful morning tea at the Eildon Information Centre. This was enjoyed by many. It's very exciting to see the Blue Gums to Eildon Recreational Trail progressing. It's not far off now and wonderful to see so many people already using it. This will be a well-used asset when completed and will certainly encourage people to walk or ride in a safe and beautiful environment. This is certainly a good step towards overall well-being for our local and visiting community. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. In my report, this month has been a busy one, albeit with Easter and Anzac Day, as welcome breaks from the norm. With respect to Anzac Day, I want to congratulate the RSL for a successful day and the support they provide to smaller community commemorations, like the one I attended at YARC. During the month, I attended the AGM of the Cathkin Cemetery Trust. That small group of volunteers are to be commended for the work they do in maintaining such a beautiful and historic site. It was regrettable that long-serving chairman Les Reed was unable to be at the AGM due to ill health, but also pleasing that his prognosis was such that he will be able to soon resume his role. Along with the CEO, time has been spent meeting community representatives and advocating for changes to the way the water storage level in Lake Eildon is managed. The need for greater emphasis on contributing to flood mitigation is imperative, and hopefully the Minister will respond positively to the request to have an immediate limit of 95% put in place pending the outcomes of the review of lake level management, which is currently being undertaken as a result of the October floods. I have been on the selection panel for a new CEO for the Central Ranges Local Learning and Employment Network. The network supports young people to transition from school to work through a variety of programs across the three shires of Murrindindi, Mitchell and Macedon Ranges. The announcement of the new CEO will be made in the next week. The successful candidate will need to hit the ground running to be well positioned to support the state government's ambition to expand vocational training for all students. And it's pleasing that there's going to be a particular emphasis in our region on developing agricultural skills training. Crillon is also supporting early childhood education staff training within Macedon Ranges and is using a model which is being investigated for its suitability within Murrindindi Shire. Last Friday, I had the pleasure of facilitating the judging of the Citizen of the Year Awards. This year, there was a great increase in nominations across all categories, which I believe has justified the move from the busy pre-Christmas nominations period. The judges do not have an easy task, but have come up with a list of very worthy winners who will be announced at the volunteer celebration dinners on the 13th and 21st of May at Marysville and Kinglake, respectively. I thank the judges for their work and also appreciated their suggestions on how the process can be improved in coming years. Madam CEO.
Thank you, Mayor Walsh. As of today, Council has received 5 submissions on the 2023-24 draft budget. Community members still have time to provide feedback on the draft budget, and this can be done by filling out a form through our website or via email or letter to Council. Submissions are open until Sunday, the 30th of April. I'm pleased to announce that we have appointed Andrew Paxton as the Director of Community Development. We were delighted with the level of interest and the calibre of applicants for this very important role. Following an internal organisational realignment, this role will lead the following key functions of Council: community wellbeing and engagement, planning, building and community safety, economic development and flood recovery. Andrew brings significant experience to our team and to Murrindindi, having held similar executive and senior management roles at Cardinia, Yarra Ranges and Knox Councils. He has a deep understanding of public land management through his advisory roles with Parks Victoria and Phillip Island Nature Parks. More recently, Andrew was general manager for the Caulfield Racecourse Reserve Trust. Andrew's first day will be next Monday, the 1st of May. And I would like to express my deep gratitude to Kate Siebert, who skillfully held the role of Interim Director Community Engagement over the past few months, helping us to respond to the October floods and the February grass fires, as well as setting up the Municipal Flood Recovery Committee. We have received $20,000 funding from the Department of Energy, Environment and Climate Change through the On-Site Domestic Wastewater Management Grants Program. And this is towards a project to promote good wastewater management to residents, landholders and service providers through an education and engagement program. And this project was a high priority identified in the Domestic Wastewater Management Plan. The total cost of the project is $35,000. And to celebrate Ida Hobbit Day, which is the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Intersex Discrimination and Transphobia, Council is hosting its inaugural Pride Flag raising ceremony in Alexandra on Wednesday, the 17th of May from 10 to 11 a.m. outside the Alexandra Council offices. There is no need to register for this event. Everyone is welcome to attend and to show support for the LGBTQI plus community and stand alongside us as we raise the Pride flag. A free morning tea will be provided and people will get the opportunity to hear from our guest speaker, Tara Peterson, who is a local Alexandra member and also a member of the Thornton in Ulden District Football and Netball Club. And will be speaking to us about the importance of flying the Pride flag on this Ida Hobbit Day. Council will also be celebrating the day and flying the Pride flag at our King Lake and Yay libraries. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Item 8, record of council briefing sessions. Councillors, there's a recommendation there. Can I have someone move the recommendation, please? Councillor Carpenter. Second. Councillor Gerringer. Councillors, all those in favour? Thank you. Item 9, seedling register. Have someone move the recommendation. Councillor Gallagher. Someone to second. Councillor Carpenter. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried. That brings us to the end of tonight's meeting, and I declare the meeting closed at 8:44.